The Nate Darling Show.
Call me Sir God.
Coming to you live from the west side of the I Street Bridge, it's The Nate Darling Show.
Call me Sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him. He's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
Back again for another round of fun. It's The Nate Darling Show.
Hello, what up?
Hello, Kareem.
Hello.
Hello, Jason.
What up?
Off last week because life sometimes gets in the way of the podcast.
Life does.
Yep. Well, life does.
At least it wasn't the flu again for me.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Glad you're feeling better. Got a lot to get to today. Lots been happening. We are in the middle of Black History Month, and we'll find out how it's going.
It's not also going well in Boston.
It's also Oh, I don't know about that. We'll talk about that then. It's Valentine's Day, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about Valentine's plans and a whole lot more. We've got, the origins of Florida Corner, too.
Ooh.
Yeah, we'll find out where it all started. Not on this show, but the idea of, you know, crazy news stories from Florida. I'll also bang my mic stand around if you like it.
Yes.
That's what we got going on.
Yes.
Before we get going on all this, Jason, how are you, sir? What's been up?
Just stuff with the family. Kids getting bigger by the minute. Mm-hmm. And doing more awesome stuff. And grandparents are gone. So it's just Chris and I in the house. So mm-hmm. It's been awesome, but also, like, it's... You miss the grandparents because they do so much. For, like, CJ was always occupied.
Free babysitter.
So,
that's what you miss.
Yeah. So, yeah. But, no, it's been awesome. Spending time with family.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Kareem, anything good? I know you were at the Blazers-Kings game last week.
Yeah, did the Blazers-Kings game Friday night. The Kings actually played okay. But Damian Lillard played better than everybody else, including everybody on Portland. He scored 50 points in three quarters.
He sure did.
He did not miss anything.
He's one of the guys I enjoy watching a lot.
Yeah, and he does it to everybody. That's the thing. Yeah. And was it C.J. McCollum, the other guard? He's had a 50-point game in three quarters, too. So mm-hmm. It's like either or can – have one of those nights where they won't miss anything. So, so that was cool. What else had I done? I haven't done a lot because I had the flu for a week or right. So. I had some acupuncture to knock that out.
Really?
Yes. You should try it. Mm. He did the needles and then he gave me, some herbs for 6 days. And by the time we finished the needles the next day, I was almost cleared up.
Hmm.
And the herbs knocked out the rest of what was going on. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Okay.
Very interesting. We went to see WWE Live at the Golden One Center Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
It was a grand time. Fun time.
When is Ronda Rousey wrestling?
I would not expect to see her much before WrestleMania, at least not on TV. You might see as we get closer. So here's the deal. There is we don't know if she's going to be on Raw or SmackDown. So
that was my next question.
That's point one. We do not know the answer to that. There is a Raw pay-per-view coming up on Sunday, the Elimination Chamber. So it's possible she shows up at that if she is going to be on Raw. We don't know the answer to that. If she's going to be on SmackDown, I wouldn't expect her to show up until Fastlane, which is the pay-per-view for SmackDown, and that's not going to be until March, about a month before WrestleMania.
Okay.
So you're probably not going to see her. I'm sure she's in Orlando at the training center getting all the finer points and how to be a professional a sports entertainer. Because in WWE, they're not wrestlers, they're sports entertainers. Superstars, if you will.
Yes.
so they've put the kibosh on the term pro wrestler, at least in that company. So you'll definitely see her at WrestleMania in some capacity, and it won't be the first time. She did do an appearance with The Rock a few years ago, I believe, when they were in San Francisco. Well, San Jose.
Yeah.
Santa Clara. Doesn't matter. They're right next to each other.
It's all one big city.
Mm-hmm. And they built that city on rock and roll. So yeah, she'll be popping up. The interesting thing about going to a live event as opposed to a live TV event.
Let me guess, you're knee deep in the hoopla.
Well, we've moved past that, but thanks. that was about the Bay Area, not about wrestling. Come on, man. Yes, and Jason. Yes, and. Not just fucking with you. No, when you go to a live event, A, there's no commercial breaks, but the wrestlers get a little bit more latitude in terms of time and ability to do different things. So you'll see matchups that you wouldn't necessarily see somewhere else or anything like that. But it was a fun time, other than the blue spotlight that was shining right in our eyes pretty much the entire evening.
Oh, damn. Oh.
To the point where people were going and complaining about it.
Oh.
Because, and I'm like, when it started, I'm like, well, maybe that they're just fixed lights and they're in a terrible position. But no, anytime someone would come out and their entrance would play, those lights all moved around and it's like, fuckers.
It just had to make it stupid.
And here's the thing. I was on the far corner of the arena from where they were and it was hitting everybody up through there. If you look at my profile picture on Facebook, you can literally see the blue splash across my eyes. And that was the length of a basketball court away from me. Just to give you an idea of how intense that was for the entire night. And when Leslie went down to talk to some people about it, there was somebody else that was down there already complaining.
Oh, you're purple.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's from a full basketball court away in terms of distance.
Wow.
Yeah. other than that, it was, it looks like I was hit with a bat in the face. Other than that, it was a really, really fun show. Got to see my boy Kevin Owens wrestle. It's fantastic. I tweeted about it, along with, that picture. And, he liked it afterwards. So then I did a little giddy dance.
Understood.
So, did that, and then I had at least four people comment, are you Braun Strowman or did you face swap with Braun Strowman? Now, there are a few differences between Braun Strowman and myself. One, he's much younger. Two, he's a foot taller. he's a power lifter. So, I mean, that's pretty similar. But, so that was very, that just made me go, maybe it's time to, you know, take the beard down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or not. I don't know.
Who knows?
Either way, it was fun. And then Sunday morning we got up really early and we went out to, Leslie's work and, I'm shooting some videos for their grand opening that they're having. So I'm putting together a video presentation that's going to show at the grand opening. So,
oh, cool.
We'll get up at 3:30 in the morning on Sunday.
Ouch.
Yep. And, went out there. No traffic though. That's the good news. No traffic at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Especially on a Sunday.
Yep. There were still cars out there. It just wasn't backed up.
And you have to watch out for those ones.
So, did a little bit of that. I flew my drone inside the warehouse.
Wow.
And the interesting thing there is it's right near the Napa airport. So you're not supposed to fly drones there.
Oh, okay.
And they haven't updated their system that you can just file a flight plan and get it kicked back or not, which they have like at SAC Executive Airport.
Uh-huh.
So basically there, if you want to fly outside, it says you have to file for a waiver, which is a 90-day thing.
Oh, damn.
And then you may not get it, and it's only good for the one day.
Oh, okay.
But I'm inside. But my drone is smart enough to know I'm in a no-fly zone. So my drone says, in NFZ, cannot take off. And I'm like, oh, shit. And this is inside the building because all it knows is where you are geographically. It doesn't know you're inside, outside, whatever. So he figured out a way to get around that, which involved basically taking on liabilities for literally anything that happened in the area, which is fine because I'm inside the building.
Right.
So unless a plane crashed through the building because it saw the drone, and then I think I'm okay.
Right.
Yeah. So that was fun, but we wrapped that up and it was just a very long Sunday.
Oh, it was a very long Sunday.
No, in a good way. Cause it was like, what time does it feel like? And I'm like, it feels like 5 p.m. It was like 11:30.
That's always a good feeling though, kind of too though. Knowing that like you have like the rest of the day still. So like,
you fell asleep at 8 o'clock.
I didn't. That's the thing. I did not. We did take a nap.
Yeah.
We did take a nap when we got back.
You get like an hour nap, 2 hour nap maybe.
Right. But I had slept for, we went to the WWE live show Saturday night and didn't get home until 11. And I was hyped.
Right.
Yeah.
And we got up at 3:30 in the morning.
So you got 2 hours of sleep.
I got about 2 to 3 hours of sleep.
Nice.
Yeah. It was good.
Nice.
It was good. We'll got a lot more coming with that. So nice, cool video. My little side company, KYP Creative, is working on a variety of things. Reach out if you need something.
Awesome.
Great videos.
Yeah, I can do drone shots. I can do non-drone shots. Beautiful editing. Fantastic stuff. Professional video production.
Professional. By somebody that's been in the industry.
For over 20 years. But not stale. Not at all stale.
No, this shit's so fresh.
It's fresh.
It's like farm fresh, bro.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of fresh, Quincy Jones had an interview. You might have heard about it. He covered a lot of topics. This is a big, big interview with a lot of things going on. Not quite sure what's going on, but, he's turning 85 in March. He's got a Netflix documentary and a CBS special hosted by Oprah Winfrey on the horizon. I love in the interview, they said, Jones, dressed in a loose sweater, dark slacks, and a jaunty scarf, talks like he has nothing to lose. Of course he has nothing to lose. He's 85 and rich.
Exactly.
The only thing that's going to get him is the Reaper.
Yeah.
Yes. And he's not afraid of the Reaper. So
right, he doesn't give a fuck.
He's playing with house money at this point.
Yeah.
In literally every aspect of the word. So asked him about Michael Jackson because he worked with Michael Jackson a lot. He said, I hate to get into this publicly, but Michael stole a lot of stuff. Well, clearly you don't hate to get into it publicly. He said, Donna Summer's State of Independence and Billie Jean, the notes don't lie, man. He was as Machiavellian as they come. So they're greedy. Don't stop till you get enough. Someone named Greg Phalanges wrote the C-section. Michael should have given him 10% of the song. Wouldn't do it. Listen, you can't buy your own Ferris wheels and merry-go-rounds if you're giving away 10% of your hits.
Yeah. And I don't even doubt that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said,
I don't think anybody's really come out and said anything that he said is untrue, really. Right?
No.
I think Richard Pryor's daughter did.
Yeah.
Right. But his daughter did.
But his
ex-wife said yes.
Yeah.
And so Richard Pryor's daughter may be like, I really don't want this to be true.
Yeah. Oh, wait. But then she re-released another statement that said, talked about how free he was.
Yeah.
And unencumbered. So, I have Richard Pryor's autobiography. It was called Pryor Convictions. And he didn't mention Marlon Brando in there, but he did talk about some of the things that he saw, like, who did he say? I think he said he saw Miles Davis and Dizzy Gillespie tongue kissing in the dressing room. Like, he walked around and walked on it. But then if you watch his the JoJo Dancer Your Life is Calling, you'll see that he was in – he actually performed a drag in that, which was actually a true story, based on a true story of something that he did. And then the other thing I was reading about was that he was actually involved with a transvestite,
mm-hmm.
or trans person for a long time. So,
yeah, then that's what his daughter had said too.
Yeah,
and this person was just, you know, the nice lady that was my dad's friend.
Yeah.
So, other things about Michael Jackson. He said, I used to kill him about the plastic surgery, man. He'd always justify it and say it was because of some disease he had. Bullshit.
100%.
But then he got real about, then he got real about Michael.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we all know that the problem was propofol because that's what killed Michael Jackson. So.
But his dad, about how his dad called him ugly and hate, like, you know.
Yeah, by the way, pot calling the kettle black there.
Yeah.
Fucking Joe Jackson, man. There are pugs that go, dude, shave your ass and learn to walk backwards.
But I mean, like, it was just, he's like, what would you expect from a kid that was brought up being told he was ugly, and worthless? Like, I don't know, like, he said all that stuff about Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
But then he ended it
but
with,
part of that was, so was it Michael was like 6 or 8 or something like that when the Jackson 5 blew up?
Yeah, he was really young.
Yeah, that was Joe trying to keep himself relevant.
Oh yeah, no, I don't disagree with. I'm just saying that's why I believe it.
Yeah,
you know, like, because he's not just saying one sided facts. Like, he's telling, like, he doesn't give a fuck. He's just like, the truth. This is what I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Peace out.
Here's the thing. He also revealed in the interview who killed JFK. According to Quincy Jones, it was Chicago mobster Sam Giancana. The connection was there between Sinatra and the Mafia and Kennedy, Joe Kennedy. He was a bad man. He came to Frank to have him talk to Giancana about getting votes. So.
Yeah. That's a... It's another story that's been out there.
Yeah, that's not a new conspiracy theory. He said the interview asks, I've heard this theory before that the mob helped win Illinois for Kennedy in 1960. And Quincy Jones replies, we shouldn't talk about this publicly. Where are you from?
Yeah.
So let's see. He talks about Jimi Hendrix. It's very long. His first impression of the Beatles, that they were the worst musicians in the world. That they were no playing motherfuckers.
I can't disagree with him there.
Paul was the worst bass player I ever heard, and Ringo, don't even talk about it. I remember once we were in the studio with George Martin, and Ringo had taken 3 hours for a 4-bar thing he was trying to fix on a song. He couldn't get it.
Yeah. And he ended up bringing another drummer in to play the solo for him.
Yeah. And, Ringo went on break and, he comes back and has George play it back for him. And he says, that didn't sound so bad. And I said, yeah, motherfucker, because it ain't you. Great guy, though.
Great guy.
Here's the thing that really came out in this interview. Quincy Jones loves the word motherfucker.
Yes. I can't disagree with him, but I'm still trying to get the Beatles hype.
They were a moment in time, and when they started, that's all they were. They were just a boy band.
Yeah.
By the time they got, and that was just an initial reaction. By the time you get to 1967, 68, they've evolved as a band and musicians. Ringo's still terrible, but they've evolved as musicians. But that was you asked for his first impression.
Yeah.
That's your first impression. Let's see what else we got here. What about the alleged behavior of a friend of yours like Bill Cosby? Is it hard to square what he's been accused of with the person you know? He said, it was all of them. Brett Ratner, Harvey Weinstein. Weinstein, he's a jive motherfucker. Wouldn't return my 5 calls. A bully. So apparently if you don't return Quincy's call, you're a jive motherfucker. And he said, what about Cosby though? He says, what about it? Were the allegations a surprise to you? And Quincy says, we can't talk about this in public, man.
That's because they were all, well, he knows, they were all doing it.
Right,
that
right.
That was I don't even know, yeah, that was the drug of the time, or that was the thing that everybody was doing, so.
When asked if he could snap his fingers and fix one problem, he said racism. And then he went on to say, it's Trump and uneducated rednecks. Trump is just telling them what they want to hear. I used to hang out with him. He's a crazy motherfucker. Limited mentally, a megalomaniac, narcissistic. I can't stand him. I used to date Ivanka, you know. What? That's quite an age gap.
Was it Dane Cook's 49? He's dating a 19-year-old?
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is like 50 years.
Tony Curtis. Is it Tony Curtis?
Tony Curtis before he died, yeah.
Before he died, yeah.
He was like a 35-year-old and he was like 90.
90, yeah. That's why, look.
Yeah,
you got money, shit.
There's some chick that'll hop on it.
So,
hey, look, wait. I was in the military. I seen chicks give up the ass for benefits.
Sure. Yeah,
I'm just telling you, for somebody to pay their phone bill or give them a couple of $100 on the rent. So
they ask, is Hollywood as bad with the race as the rest of the country? I know when you started scoring films, you'd hear producers say things like they didn't want a bluesy score, which was clearly code speak. Are you still encountering that type of racism? Is that really racism if you say I don't want it to sound bluesy?
It's a dog whistle.
Even if you're having a private conversation?
Yeah.
Okay. He said it's still fucked up. 1964, when I was in Vegas, there were places I wasn't supposed to go because I was black. But Frank fixed that for me. It takes individual efforts like that to change things. It takes white people to say to other white people, do you really want to live as a racist? Is that really what you want to believe? But every place is different. When I go to Dublin, Bono makes me stay at his castle because Ireland is so racist. Bono's my brother, man. He named his son after me. So then the interviewer asks, is U2 still making good music? And he just shook his head.
I think that's a consensus.
And the answer is no. No. Yeah. No, not since the mid-80s. Not since the mid-80s have they been making good songs. Let's see if we can find something else in here.
I think he also has, like, a very, like, his idea, like, what he qualifies as music and what doesn't qualify as music could be widely discussed by, you know, people.
Mm-hmm. Well, so later on, the question comes up, who's doing good work? And he said Bruno Mars, Chance the Rapper, Kendrick Lamar. I like where Kendrick's mind is. He's grounded. Chance, too. And the Ed Sheeran record is great. Sam Smith, he's so open about being gay. I love it. Mark Ronson is someone who knows how to produce.
Mark Ronson is probably one of the most underrated musicians out.
And a good producer.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we got here. We already talked about the Marlon Brando stuff a little bit, Richard Pryor. It's a very long and rangy interview all over the place. It is exactly what you would expect sitting down with an 85-year-old and having a conversation to be.
A frank conversation.
Just rambling all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
One thing that I said, he would jump to it, and the interviewer, good interviewer, because the interviewer would just follow every little breadcrumb that Quincy would drop and be like, well, what about that? What's going on with that? We can't talk about that in public, man.
Yeah.
So he may have a lot of fucks that he doesn't give, but he still has plenty of fucks that he does give. And he's afraid of Cosby. That's what I'm going to tell you. That's how you know Cosby's connected. I don't know if Cosby's connected.
Somebody's connected.
He is. He's afraid of everybody. All right. So we had a little Dow Jones issue the past couple of weeks. It went down like 1,200 points one day.
Yep.
And then it went back up 500 points, and then a couple of days later it went down 1,000 points.
Oh, it went up. Well, the first day it went down 666 points.
That's right. It went down the Satan number.
Yes. That Friday.
Yeah. And so it's been in flux, but don't fear not. We have a great financial breakdown from a financial expert to explain exactly what is happening and why.
Way up there at 26,000, down to, you know, close to 24,000. This is a big, big deal. And again, this is economic warfare undoubtedly against this president. They've been trying as hard as they can. There he is touring the country, getting thousands of factories back. And Now this happens. You better believe something this big is meant to embarrass him on his big economic tour he's involved in.
He's not getting thousands of factories back.
No.
That's a blatant lie. He's not even getting thousands of jobs back, let alone thousands of factories. But go on.
It was Lloyd Blankfein, the head of Goldman Sachs, that heads up the New World Order, that said a few months ago, oh, I was in China. They're in industries much bigger. How's your industry, you know, how's your infrastructure week going?
By the way, Hulk Hogan is in charge of the New World Order. Let's get this straight.
This is the economic war in our country right now. Going back to Doug Hagman.
Fantastic points. And you know, the economy, the money, we are just going to kill the dollar from 5-6 years ago, 7 years ago. This is blowback by the deep state. You're absolutely right. An incredible time to be alive to witness this.
So Kareem, remember, every time you spout a conspiracy theory, you sound like this to people who, you know, the people who are talking about the deep state, how they're coming to get you. The deep state's having a problem. Just telling you, that's what it sounds like. Just be aware. Just be aware. I'm not saying what the things you said don't have some validity to them, but that's what it sounds like to people. And then people start to think about things, and then it goes this way, and it goes that way, and the deep state is working against the president, and then you don't know, he's been doing this, they're going to kill the dollar, and then everybody's going to go to hell, and then, ah!
Okay.
yeah, Alex Jones. Thanks. I like keeping track of Alex Jones because it's important. Did you guys get your flu shots?
No.
Yep.
All right, I did. Well, here's some good news for you, Kareem. There's a televangelist who says there is no flu season.
This televangelist under fire for her stance on the flu outbreak. Here's what she told her followers.
We've got a duck season, a deer season, but we don't have a flu season.
Wabbit season, duck season, wabbit season, duck season. See, no flu season.
Was Gloria Copeland, wife of well-known televangelist Kenneth Copeland. Her message, you don't need a flu shot if you've got Jesus. Here's Matt Howerton.
And don't receive it.
Gloria Copeland. So, Kareem, you have Jesus then?
My mama goes to church religiously.
Uh-huh. That's the only way to go.
She had the flu the same week I had it.
Uh-huh.
she prays to Jesus. She prays to Jesus just like that woman does. Or just as much as that woman does.
But
she had the flu the same week I had it.
Hold on. Does she pray to black Jesus? Because that could be where she's going wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm just saying. Maybe.
Copeland isn't a doctor.
He bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases.
Yet the televangelist is weighing in on one of the most deadly flu seasons North Texas has seen in years.
I'll never have the flu.
Speaking to over 1 million followers through her husband's ministry page on Facebook, Copeland vowed there is no flu season and that Jesus is a form of the flu shot.
Jesus himself gave us the flu shot. He redeemed us from the curse of flu.
And if you haven't caught the flu, Copeland suggests this.
That's the way it's supposed to be. Just keep saying that I'll never have the flu.
That's what I used to say. I'll never have the flu. I don't get sick. I never get sick.
Julie Shelley isn't a fan of Copeland's message. 4 years ago, the 52-year-old spent a month in the hospital and almost died when she got the flu. She says what Copeland is saying is dangerous and might prevent people from getting a flu shot or seeking medical help if they're infected.
You just can't sit back and think, oh, I'm not going to get sick. You've got to do your part.
I thought of witchcraft when I saw the video.
Why is that?
Because that's a witchcraft incantation, is to repeat something over and over to try to make it come true.
Pete Evans has investigated televangelists since the 90s. His findings have even been used on Capitol Hill.
It's not enough to say over and over, flu, go away, flu, go away. I rebuke you in the name of God.
I can't argue with him.
Yeah, no.
It's not going to work. I mean, you can do it.
I'm pretty sure, like I said, my mama prays just like everybody else. She had the flu the same week I did. And actually, she had it worse than I did. And I used acupuncture to get rid of mine.
Right.
Faster.
A lot of people dying from the flu. There's a flu season. Here's how we know how effective the flu vaccine is going to be. Because the flu season moves across the earth with the changing of the season. So
no,
we know from Australia and places in the Southern Hemisphere where it's winter in the winter in the summer. Anyway,
yeah,
seasons are flipped. So when they're having their coldest time, we're having our warmest time, and vice versa. So we know from Australia how effective the flu shot's going to be by if they got the right strain when they made it, because they have to guess because there's hundreds of strains of flu. And so we know this year, not the most effective year.
Yeah.
But yelling to Jesus isn't going to help you get over the flu at all.
If that was the case, the South wouldn't have the flu because that's all they do in the South.
Right? Oh, my God. Anyway, Donald Trump Jr., he is busy defending his dad. He says his dad is not a racist, and you'll never guess why.
What do you think about the left's efforts to frame your dad and anyone who supports your dad as a hater, as a racist, as a fascist? This is a cultural phenomenon, and there's fear spreading across the country of being able to say what you really believe.
Well, I think it's terrible. For a couple of reasons. I said this on the campaign trail when it was so obvious. That was sort of the game plan. You know, we're going to smear you with racist, fascist, whatever. The real problem is those things exist. Certainly racism exists. But if it's your response to any argument you can't win, you actually do a real disservice to those people actually afflicted by it, to those people who are actually oppressed and hurt by real racism, by real sexism. So if you use it every time, what really happens is, and in the real world what really happens is people hear it, they roll their eyes, and they move on. Because they realize it's nonsense in this case.
All right, now to this point, Donald Trump Jr., I'm seeing what he's saying. He's not wrong. Sometimes people yell about it and it's not really there. But we'll get to the real story here in a second.
The problem is when people who are actually affected by it say it, it doesn't matter anymore. It's lost its effect because it's been numbing to people. You can only overplay your hand so many times before people start calling your bluff. So it's actually doing nothing on the positive side of being able to promote that as a real issue. And what it's doing on the other side is it's hurting those that are actually afflicted by it. So it's been terrible to watch because I know him. I've seen him my whole life. I've seen the things he's done. You know, it's amazing. All the rappers, all the this, all his African-American friends, from Jesse Jackson to Al Sharpton. You know, I have pictures with him the whole life. We say, hi, I've always been friends. You know, it was only till he got into politics that all of a sudden, oh, he's the most terrible human being. I don't know. He wasn't so terrible a couple years ago when you're at his events. He wasn't so terrible then when you're hitting him up for charity dollars and he's sponsoring things and sponsoring scholarships and doing X, Y, Z for you guys. That wasn't a problem, but now all of a sudden you're a conservative, so we must take this stance. It's another backfire.
What about the rappers, Kareem?
Let me see. The rappers wanted to be Donald Trump because he was rich. They didn't give a fuck about Donald Trump, the man.
Well, here's
because they didn't know Donald Trump, the man. They wanted to be Scarface.
Here's what they had in common. Who loves everything gold-plated?
The rappers.
And Donald Trump.
Yes.
Yeah. And the guys that are like the hip-hop artists that like know who Donald Trump is. Like, you don't hear about Yasiin Bey ever hanging out with Donald Trump or Talib Kweli or any of the Roots carrying
Damon Dash slapped him like a bitch. For real.
Yeah.
For real. You're the events at your place. You own Trump Taj Mahal. Actually, you don't even own Trump Taj Mahal.
Your name's on it.
And you're there to look like you're the person. So am I going to come to your place and act like an asshole to you while you're there? Like, no, you're going to be cool with him. And you're going to, you know.
Right. And I'm raising money for my charity and this guy is rich. Of course I'm going to be nice.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I'm trying to do good by raising money.
Yes. And you don't even know if he really donated or whether he told him he was going to donate and never did.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Hey, but your, history of, housing discrimination and the Central Park Five.
That's what I was saying. Like, that's guys that would have known about that. Like, never, like, Yasi, like, Mos Def never would have.
You know.
Like, never would have fucked with him.
By the way, he brings up racism and the first thing he goes to is rapper.
Yeah.
Why? Because drug dealer wasn't available to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, there's black doctors.
They're not hanging out with
lawyers.
Hey, those guys aren't hanging out.
Exactly. Exactly.
So he was hanging out with the rich people that wasn't in the real rich people club. That's what it is.
Yeah. Well, exactly. So that, I thought that was a very interesting way to go. Here's how I'm going to defend my dad. Because at a certain point, you're like, I can see your point.
Yeah.
When people say that it's something and it's really not, or if there's sort of a gray area, it really does take away. Yeah, that's all very logical.
But he says just enough for that racist person for that audience. Yeah. He says just enough for the audience to be
exactly.
Like, but, yeah, you're right. You're right. You know what?
Yeah.
He does hang out with Snoop Dogg.
But that's the real thing is he's hanging out with people who are quote unquote rich because real rich people don't want to hang out with him.
Right. He would hang out with anybody who was high profile that would make him look important.
Yes.
That was all he cares about. He's about feeding his ego. Quincy Jones nailed him.
Yeah.
Nailed him.
Yeah.
By the way, Quincy Jones, black guy.
Yes. Wasn't hanging out with him.
Well, he did.
We did, but yeah.
For the same reason. Raising money.
Because he was dating his daughter.
Like I said, don't doubt it.
No, did anybody come out and say it wasn't true?
And that's the thing. Nobody come out and say it's true.
Yeah. Nobody's like, even questioned. Yeah. Like, I mean.
Like, there's another article where he said he had 22 girlfriends. And he talks, but he has, like, women all over the world. So, like, when he's in a country, there's somebody that's on.
He's a smooth brother with a pile of money.
Exactly.
Of course.
That's it.
Here's the thing. He's a smooth brother. He doesn't even need a pile of money, but he has it.
Exactly.
And that just makes it easy.
He's got him on speed dial.
He's
like
all
I said,
good.
Remember when you, look, I know cats who are broke and got three or four women.
Mm-hmm.
So just think about what they would be doing if they got that much money.
All right. Speaking of getting a lot of money, TMZ had paid $55,000 to cohorts of Suge Knight for sealed court evidence, a financial windfall that Knight and his associates apparently earmarked for the bribery of witnesses in the pending murder case against him. Whoops. The sale of the evidence to TMZ has resulted in the indictment of Knight's girlfriend and a business partner on felony conspiracy charges. Additionally, two of Knight's former lawyers were arrested last week for allegedly acting as accessories after the fact in connection with the alleged bribery scheme. While the deal to purchase the sealed court evidence was overseen by TMZ founder Harvey Levin, the website was represented in the direct negotiations with Knight & Company by Raquel Harper, a veteran TMZ producer. She's the loud African-American girl who wears the jaunty hats, if you've ever watched the show. As if orchestrating a drug buy, Harper, who's 35, spoke in code while discussing the illegal deal with the incarcerated Knight, whose jailhouse phone calls are recorded by prison officials. You should know that. A spokesperson for the L.A. County D.A. declined comment when asked whether TMZ or any of its representatives were being investigated in connection with the website's central role in the plot to purchase and publish sealed surveillance video. Knight is 52. He's been locked up in the L.A. County Jail since January of 2015. That's 3 years, for those of you who can't do the math, when he was arrested for the hit and run that left one man dead and a second man hospitalized. You okay, Jason?
Oh yeah, no, I'm reading, I'm looking at the article.
No, I can hear you Darth Vadering it over there.
Oh, sorry.
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 Yeah, that was the incident where he ran over the guy near Tam's Burgers. So, big trouble coming up for TMZ, maybe. We'll see.
It's about time.
Can't keep doing that. Meanwhile, in Iowa, let's go completely off the news about African Americans. In Iowa, a man named Stan, in need of a 16-foot trailer for a flat-bottom boat, went on Craigslist and posted an ad proposing a barter deal in the site's for sale wanted section. What he was allegedly offering in exchange for the trailer resulted in his arrest. The Craigslist post by Stan, who's a married 37-year-old father, noted the boat trailer was needed ASAP, and that the poster, quote, will trade for sex if need be. That's right. Stan will fuck you for a boat trailer.
What you talking about, Willis?
After the Marion Police Department officers learned of the online ad, they exchanged emails with the Craigslist poster discussing whether the offered act would be oral or anal sex. The parties agreed that detail would be settled when they met in person. During the meeting with a male undercover officer, Stan offered his services as a partner in a sex act in exchange for a boat trailer. The investigators alleged that he also agreed to give the cop $25 in addition to the sex act, which is not further described in court papers. A used 16-foot boat trailer typically sells for several hundred dollars. So I don't know how good he is, but he thinks he's worth several hundred. Stan was subsequently arrested and charged with prostitution.
I don't even know what to say about that.
I like, there's so many things, like, the first thing.
Yes.
Is that there's really nothing going on in that town, so much so that this is what they decided to spend resources on, was trying to.
They're ferreting out prostitution, Jason.
This is not the prostitute that they're looking for, right? This is like.
It's the one they found.
But that's not what they're like. This guy obviously has some issue going on, man. Like, this is not normal.
Yeah, he needs to get his boat from the house to the water. So he needs a trailer.
No.
And he'll do anything for it.
There's something going on. Like, that's not, no way. Especially since he's a father. Like, you don't just decide to do something like that.
That means he's been doing it before.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how he barters. He barters with his anus.
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and say it. He barters with his anus.
Oh, no, man.
That means he's done that before, Jason. That wasn't the first time.
Yeah, just because you shit out a kid doesn't mean you won't do terrible things just to save yourself a buck.
Remember, what did I just say 2 minutes ago?
About what?
Huh? Are you on the same show with us? Did you smoke before you came?
Does your car have a carbon monoxide?
What is going on? I just said I seen chicks that would fucking do for
Right. And so I get, no, I, okay. Yeah. But I'm not
pay their phone bill or to give them a couple hundred dollars on the rent.
Yeah. And he's getting a boat trailer.
He's getting a boat trailer.
He's not really. But, this is a good time. Hello, Iowa. Good to see you.
Oh, Lord.
Look, that boat ain't getting to the water on its own. That's all it. I know. Meanwhile,
he can't pull it with his ass.
I don't know.
Some people hate hunting. Other people, like me, think, it's fine if that's what you want to do, as long as it's not, you know, an endangered animal. And some people will say if you're a hunter, bad karma will come your way. Well, this is for all of you people. What do I mean, you people? I mean, you people who think that bad karma is coming hunters' ways. Some might chalk it up to bad luck, others to karma. Robert Mealhammer, who's 51, of Crapo, Maryland. I'm sure that's not how you pronounce it, but that's how it's spelled. Crapo, Maryland. I'm sure it's Crapo or something, but I don't give a shit. He was struck in the head last Thursday by a dead Canada goose that plunged from the sky after a fellow waterfowl hunter fired a blind shot on a flock overhead. Milehammer was in the midst of a hunting party with three friends in Easton, Maryland. The goose fell about 90 feet, knocking the hunter out instantly.
Oops.
And causing head and facial injuries. When he came to, he was coherent but hazy. That's according to the Maryland Natural Resources Police. The Natural Resources Police officers and EMS responders transported him via ambulance to Easton Airport, where he was airlifted to the University of Maryland Medical Center Shock Trauma Center in Baltimore. They called his head injury severe. The dead bird also knocked out two of his teeth.
Oh, damn.
Holy shit.
And then they talk about how they fly south. They do. They migrate south each year. They fill the sky with those long V formations. Now, Jason, if you've seen them, you know that one side is longer than the other, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Do you know why?
Aerodynamics.
There's more birds on that side. That is the best.
He walked right into that.
I know. That's the best. I was gotten by that once. And that, I know, here's what you're feeling right now. Your first feeling is, you fucking asshole. And their next feeling is, God damn, I'm stupid.
No, because I thought because you ask significant questions that you would only ask a significant question for the reason that they had.
It's a comedy show, dude.
Sucker.
Adult Canada geese weigh about 12 to 14 pounds and can have a wingspan reaching nearly 6 feet. So there you go. They're in every state. I saw some the other day around here. So.
There's a movie about it.
Yep. Sure.
With the was it young Natalie Portman? Might have been. Where she gets in a glider to teach a Canadian goose how to.
No, I'm unfamiliar with that.
Well, that's.
Did you watch that and then come home and change your tampon?
What are you talking about? I worked in a video store, dude.
By the way, the hunter is in stable condition. If you're concerned.
Not really.
No.
I'm more concerned about the fact that more people aren't dying from random birds falling out of the air and hitting them in the face. Like, I can't believe how, like it took out teeth. Like, it was going, it was 90 feet up. I mean, I guess it would have hit terminal velocity and.
Imagine, if you will, someone dropping a small bowling ball.
No, I guess so.
On you from 90 feet.
Yeah, no.
I mean, a little softer, but the same.
Well, I figured it was covered in down. So.
A downy softness.
I won't. It would be softer. It was covered in feathers. It should have been softer.
Right? Totally. All right. We're having fun, so I'm not going to go to that right now. I'm going to move that down. Now it is. It's time for this.
Florida, land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
Okay, we're going to start with the origins of Florida Corner. This dates back to the Today Show, May 1984. And as this poster on FARC says, my favorite thing ever shown on television. You can enjoy this. The interviewer is Richard Dominick. He's the one who made this moment in TV history possible. He went on to be on the Jerry Springer Show.
It becomes normal. I mean, if you've seen a haunted toaster.
Right here where it says put one slice, we heard, I am the devil.
What kind of voice did the devil have?
A very low voice, I'd say, sounded like Eli Wallach.
Have you saved any of this satanic toast?
Yes, I did save it because I wanted to be sure that somebody else would see it. Now this one, can you see that, Richard? Satan lives. Just terrible.
Is the toaster still possessed?
We still have trouble off and on with it, yes. See, now it's...
Just trying to put toast in.
I just don't want that.
It seems to be aware. Oh!
Flame shoot
Why
out of it.
Why have you kept this toaster?
Well, Richard, you know, when all is said and done, it makes good toast.
For today, Boyd Matson, NBC News. Boca Raton, Florida.
Well, you know, it makes good toast.
All right, are you ready for Bryant Gumbel's reaction?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Jane says she's got a refrigerator that sounds like Burt Lancaster. We'll come back in just a moment. 43.
Refrigerator sounds like Burt Lancaster.
The interviewer, this story is probably fake. The interviewer went on to be the producer of the Jerry Springer Show. The guy that Jerry Springer would go talk to behind the podium with the beard, the guy.
Okay.
Oh,
that's the guy.
So, of course, yeah. The guy was making leads.
Mm-hmm. He was ahead of his time, is what we would say.
Oh, there's no story tonight? Why don't you go make a story, all right? Jesus Christ, what do I tell you how to make the news?
Exactly. Go ahead and make the news.
Oh my God.
Also in Florida, modern day, Groundhog Day to be precise. A domestic dispute between a Florida couple turned violent after one of the men went into the duo's bedroom and played a song by Sting. According to an incident report, Byron Haynes and Yakeem Moore were arguing in their Bradenton residence Sunday evening when matters escalated and turned physical. Haynes told police that he went into the bedroom and began playing this song that you're hearing, "If You Love Somebody, Set Them Free." At that point, Moore, who's 26, began breaking stuff in the lanai. When Haynes threatened to call 911, Moore allegedly grabbed his boyfriend and pushed his head against the wall. When Haynes sought to leave the residence, Moore pulled and ripped his shirt and bit Haynes on the lip. During questioning, Moore admitted grabbing Haynes by the head to keep him from departing, but said he was not being aggressive, just wanted to show him that he loved him. Moore copped to tearing Haynes' shirt, though he claimed Haynes busted his lip accidentally on the top of his head. Moore was arrested on misdemeanor domestic battery. He's locked up in county jail. $2,500 bond, $500 for the battery count, and $2,000 for a contempt charge stemming from his failure to appear in court on a 2016 citation for driving without a license. Not that it matters.
Because he's not free right now.
He's not. He's not. He's one of Kareem's cousins.
Oh, I knew that.
He was not a white person. All right. Also in Florida, a tenant at an apartment complex is facing criminal charges and eviction after he was caught utilizing every machine in the community gym. Big deal, right? Oh, while being completely naked. Police were called.
You.
Right?
He's, I don't know, did he wipe it down afterwards?
Police were called to the Andover Place Apartments in Orlando after leasing agent spotted Gary Haynes, no relation to the last fellow, who's 57, working out in the buff. The agent then contacted the maintenance man to report what she had observed. How would you love to be a maintenance man? You get this call from this property and he goes, "There's a naked gentleman in the gym. What the fuck you want me to do about it?"
Yeah, is there something broken?
Right.
That's why I would not last at that choice. Hey, did he break something? All right, that's not my jurisdiction.
Yeah, but it is. You're going to go in and wipe it all down. A second worker went to the gym, saw Haynes utilizing the stationary bicycle. While being completely naked. To include no socks or shoes. Asked by the employee what he was doing, he said, "I'm working out."
Well, you set it free. Set them free for sure.
When the worker announced the police had been called, he left the gym. A landscaper subsequently spotted him lying in the grass and masturbating near the pond.
I mean, what?
Lying in the grass and masturbating near the pond.
He knew it was his time.
Mm.
He knew it was over.
Well,
he's going away for something.
You got to treat yourself after you work out. An Orange County Sheriff's Office deputy responded to a 911 call, observed Haynes hiking, vigorously pleasuring himself.
Vigorously. Yeah. Man. Listen. I hope he had some lotion, because if you try to do it vigorously without any lotion, and it's just, you know, just some spittle, I mean, that's not going to be well for you if it's vigorous, bruh.
Here's what I'm saying. If you're going to do it in public, take your time with yourself. Treat yourself gentle. Maybe people won't notice.
oh, man.
He was arrested for indecent exposure, disorderly conduct, and exposure of sexual organs. He is being held in the Orange County Jail in lieu of $700 bond. The owners of the Andover Place complex have filed an eviction lawsuit against him. And below that, they show a photo of the gym. It's a very small gym.
Ooh.
Like every apartment complex.
I wonder if he just got, if he just had a bad trip or something, man. Like, got hammered.
You know, here's the thing. You get a guy in his late 50s. They're right on the cusp of not giving a shit about anything. They've seen a lot. They've done a lot. And they're tired of dealing with everybody's bullshit. It's coming for you, Jason. Remember that. And they just decide one day they're going to do what they want to do and fuck the rest of the world.
That's pretty much it.
That's how that happens. That's exactly how that happens.
He had his one day.
And then somebody's trying to clean anus sweat off the
poor maintenance guy's like, God damn it.
We're just going to have to throw this shit out.
Yeah.
It was time to remodel the gym, right? Let's turn it into an office area.
Can we just send the business center? Can we just have like a business center in here?
He turned it into a business center, all right.
Yeah, the business.
Biznatch.
There's no biznatch there.
The biznatch session.
There's no biznatch there for sure.
Oh, boy. Hey, we got some good news for one of our friends that we feature quite often here on the show. Jason?
Well,
Jason, your boy?
Yeah. Oh shit!
Stitches has scored a sweet deal in a gun case.
Oh man,
that's right. His lawyer scored him a pretty damn good deal in his felony gun case. He struck a plea deal that'll place him in an intervention program instead of behind bars, following his January 2017 arrest for carrying a Glock and two magazines of ammo in his car.
What you gonna do with it?
According to legal docs obtained by TMZ, Stitches can't possess any firearms.
Every time I hear that now, all I'm thinking is like that they've given somebody $50,000.
Suge Knight. Stitches can't possess any firearms until he obtains a gun license. He must also complete 25 hours of community service and a firearm safety course. It's good to know that when Stitches is thugging it up, that he's taking his gun safety course.
That's right. To keep him from shooting himself in the ass.
Mm-hmm. TMZ broke the story that cops busted Stitches in Miami after pulling out of a handicapped parking spot. I believe that was when we first started talking about Stitches on the show. He tells TMZ he's thankful the Miami-Dade State's Attorney's Office is giving him an opportunity for a fresh start.
This guy is getting a fresh start.
Yep.
What you gonna do with it?
It's hard to tell. Is Stitches white or is he just a really light-skinned brother?
No, he's white.
Now I understand why Kareem and every black guy is angry.
Yeah.
This motherfucker gets a deal where he's just gonna go take a goddamn gun class, do 25 hours of community service, and he's all good? This fucking guy? I'm now angry for every African American.
Wait until he comes out with his next album, which is called I Took the Plea Deal.
I Took a Plea Deal. He's talking about his plea deal.
Yeah. There's talk.
I need y'all to pay my fine. That's what he said.
there was talk that I had heard on some boards that I was reading, and that he actually, his dad, and this is before this happened.
Right.
That his dad is a police officer.
That makes sense.
Yeah. In the Miami area. It's just so ridiculous, right?
I, you know...
It might have been his stepfather, but it's still a family.
Mark this down. Mark this moment down. This moment in time. This watershed moment in history.
8/19 on...
Yes, it's February 12th as we record this. You can never, in the United States of America, question why an African-American person is angry about shit. Stitches was the straw that broke the camel's back. There's been a lot. I'm not going to lie. There's been a lot. But, you know, there's that one thing that puts you over the edge. You know, when you finally lose your mind and you start yelling about shit. It's not because you went to put your keys down and they fell off the counter behind the couch and now it's going to be a pain in the ass to get them. That's not why you're cursing everything that went on that day. That's the straw that broke the camel's back. That's this. So, I don't care who you are. If I hear you going, I don't know why black people are angry, I'm going to yell at you. I don't care where we are. I don't care what's going on around us. It doesn't matter. If you're at your grandma's funeral and I hear that, I'm going to go yell at you. If it's your wedding day and you're getting ready to cut the cake and you go, I don't know why these black people are angry, I'm coming to yell at you. And I will explain to you in no uncertain terms, it's because Stitches just has to take a fucking gun course and he doesn't go to jail because he's fucking white.
What you gonna do with it? What you gonna do with it?
Let me explain white privilege to you. There it is. There it is. And this motherfucker, look at this motherfucker. If you don't know who Stitches is, I'm turning Quincy Jones now. I'm using motherfucker all the time. If you don't know who he is, Google him. He has tattoos all over
his face. And then listen to some of his songs about how he sells cocaine.
Right.
All the time. And that his music is not just a lifestyle, that it's the truth.
Right.
Everything. Yeah.
And he's going to do 25 hours of community service and take a gun safety class.
And he got pulled over because he was pulling out
of a handicap spot.
So he took up grandma's handicap spot.
And I believe he had drugs in his car, too.
Yeah.
At that point. Or at the very least, guns.
He had a gun with two clips.
Right.
Oh, he's supposed to be going away for a minute.
Again, Kareem, straw that broke the fucking camel's back. This is it. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day. All right, before we get out of here, you know what? We can't talk about it yet. We can't talk about it. We'll talk about it on the Friday show because we don't want to ruin it if there's a surprise for Valentine's Day in case.
Okay, yeah.
In case one of the ladies happens to listen because the show is going to drop first thing in the morning and you don't want them to know.
Right.
We'll talk about it on Friday. What Valentine's Day plans were. Even though they will not have happened yet, we're still going to talk about them. All right. I need to compose myself. How are black people not angry literally every second of the day?
That's why so many of them smoke marijuana.
I'm dumbfounded now. I really don't know.
I am not your Negro. If you've not seen that documentary, it's on Amazon Prime with James Baldwin. He talks about it.
He
talks about it.
I don't even know anymore. I don't even know anymore. And, yeah. Yep. That's it. it's time to get the hell out of here.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
Alrighty. Let's wrap this up. And I need to close this browser window before I get angry again. It's time to go to Grand Forks, North Dakota. Where Marilyn Haggerty writes, "Welcome to February." She walks quickly down some sometimes icy sidewalks. She wears a thick pink woolen hat pulled down over her ears, two navy blue jackets, sweatpants under her postal pants, not one but two pairs of gloves. Amber Deneau is a letter carrier here in Grand Forks. She makes her way on a delivery route even if it's 20 below sometimes. And she actually likes her job. That is, if she can get enough traction with two pairs of gloves on to sort through the mail she's carrying. She says, "We have to finger the mail, and it's a challenge."
That's always a challenge. Gotta make sure you find the button.
You better be tickling the balls. I found some gloves at the ski and bike shop that makes it possible, even the wind and the cold. Warming up in the mail car doesn't do much good. It's only barely warm at best. December and January are a real challenge. She spent 3.5 years as a carrier. She starts the day at 7 a.m. and finishes her work back at the post office with some overtime between 5 and 6:30. That's 6 days a week. After 3.5 years as a carrier, she likes the spring best of all. Before she took on a route, she worked at the window in the post office. For her, it was too gray and dark working inside. When I caught up with her at the end of a frigid day this week, she said she would rather be outside. She walked 15 miles in the cold that day.
Uphill both ways.
That's the story.
Oh.
Yeah, that was the story.
It's not, I just get to know your postal carrier.
Yeah, get to know me. Get to know your postal carrier. All right, let me, I have some more.
That way you can be really like not, oh man, I really don't want to make her carry that 40-pound bag of cat litter to my door.
Matt, yeah. 20 degrees.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, if you're going to do that, make sure you click the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com. Because if she's going to carry that cat litter in the 20 degrees below zero, shouldn't we at least get a little hint of that?
Just a little bit.
It's really the least that you can do. You know, for us. You know, not for her, but for us. We deserve it. Thanks. Appreciate that. Oh, hold on. You son of a bitch.
What a piece of poop.
You know, here's the funny thing. I've been playing music out of iTunes this whole show, and it was fine. And I go to play this song, and it only plays through the speakers on the laptop.
Again?
Motherfucker.
That is so weird.
I swear to Christ, I am going to lose my mind.
I wonder if it's a... No, I guess... No, because you've been listening to music the whole time through it.
Yep.
Piece of shit.
Yep. Piece of shit. I don't even know anyone. What's going on. Hold on.
There you go. Right there. You got it? Okay.
Yeah. We'll go ahead and use Spotify. Thanks. It's time to wrap up this small town news with Ask Marilyn. Question. Who are the honorary chairs for the Museum of Art Benefit Dinner Saturday? Well, that's Senator Heidi Heitkamp and Dr. Darwin Lang and Drs. Ann and Mayor Mike Brown.
Dr. Darwin Lang.
Another question. Are Grand Forks Parks holding Greenway Ski and Snow Day at Lincoln Park Saturday? Yep, they say it's a go. But they aren't sure if the horse-drawn sleigh will be there.
Oh.
Yeah, some drama in Grand Forks. By the way, I know this is an important thing to know. The cheerful people of the week are Pat Sweeney and A.J. Rand.
Oh, man.
I swear to God, Grim, you need to move to Grand Forks because I want you to be one of the cheerful people of the week.
No.
Not if you live in Grand Forks.
Yeah. I'm Daniel. Like, what? Kareem did it! He did it!
You'd be Grand Forks famous.
I would become the stereotype angry black man.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the show. Everybody, I hope you had a great Valentine's Day. If you want to treat yourself to something nice because you had a crappy Valentine's Day, hit that Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com and get yourself something nice.
Might as well.
Exactly. Or if you screwed up Valentine's Day and you need to make up for it, hit the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com and make it right.
Make it right.
Make it right. Alrighty, that's the show for now. Back on Friday with our tales of Valentine's Day plans, etc., etc. We'll leave you with new music from Brian Fallon. His new album Sleepwalkers just dropped. The song's called Forget Me Not on the Nate Darling Show. See ya. We'll be right back.
fuck yourself.